It's good that we sing about the old rugged cross, and we're going to have a Bible reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and we're going to read about the old rugged cross and the time when the Lord Jesus died upon it. So as a Bible reading, would you please turn to Luke chapter 23? I'd like to read verses 33 to 46. 33 to 46. Beginning at verse 33, we read, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our debts or deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." And we'll begin with starting with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the night. Thank you that we can remember the Lamb of God and how he died on that cross for us. And Lord, as we stop and consider that this evening, I pray that you would be with us, illuminate our minds, help us to see these things in a way that maybe we've never seen it before. We pray for your work to be done in our hearts and in our souls, in our minds, dear Lord, I pray, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our Bible reading, we read, really, about the greatest event that ever happened on this earth. An event that has changed history in many ways, and I won't go through the various ways that it has changed history, but it certainly has. But the best thing and the best outcome from this event is that it made it possible for sinners to have their sins forgiven. Now that's something exciting. It made it possible for sinners to have a relationship with God, their Creator, and to become the children of God, and to be able to go and be with Him when they die as well. You see, Jesus dying on the cross made it possible for all of us to have eternal life, which means that we don't have to worry about what will happen when we pass from this life. We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the Word of God tells us. We no longer have to feel guilty and filthy because of the sin that we've committed. We can know that God has cleansed us from our sin. And this all comes from what Jesus did at Calvary so many years ago. We read about how God's Son came, lived upon this earth, and he died and shed his blood to take the punishment for our sin. And Jesus did this out of love for his creation, out of love for you, out of love for me. He didn't want to see us punished for all eternity in hell. And the Word of God shows us that having our sins forgiven and enjoying eternal life all depends on what we believe about Jesus and this event and how we respond to it. It all comes down to this very thing. what we believe about Jesus and this event and how we respond to it. This will determine if we're saved from punishment in hell for all eternity or if we have to pay that penalty. It's not decided by how good we are in life. It's not decided by how many prayers you pray or how many candles you light. The Word of God makes it very clear that we cannot be saved by doing good works. Now, a person is forgiven and they're saved from the punishment of sin only because or when they believe this about the Lord Jesus Christ, except that what He did on that cross was because of them and for them, and upon that, call upon them, understanding their need for salvation and cleansing. And it's then and only then that someone is forgiven. You see, the sad news is, the day that Jesus died for sinners, not every sinner gets to have their sins forgiven. Not every sinner that was there that day had their sins forgiven. In fact, most of them this day are in hell this very moment. See, a lot of the people that were there that day died and they went to hell and are now being punished for their sin, even though they watched Jesus die on the cross for sinners. And I think that's a very sad thing. They actually get to behold Him dying for sinners, yet they still have to be punished for their own sin. See, the day that the Lord Jesus died, there were many there that hated Him. There were those that weren't fussed about Him. There were those that even helped the Lord Jesus, but they are all in hell this very moment if they never repented of their sin and called upon Him to save them. Yet there was one man there who's in heaven this very moment because he had a change of mind. And that's a blessing for him. And I'm sure all of us here tonight fit into one of these categories. Some of us might hate the Lord Jesus. Some of us may not be fussed either way. Some of us might try to do good things to please the Lord Jesus, while some of us may be saved. And tonight I want to look at the different types of people that were there that night. And what I would like you to do is at least concentrate enough to consider which person you are like the most. Which person do you sort of line up with, and which category do you actually fit into? And then once you've worked out which category you fit into, more importantly, I want you to work out who you really want to be like. Because it's important to know. It's the biggest decision of your entire life, is to work out if you will respond to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and call upon Him to be your Savior. There is no greater decision that anyone could ever make in this life. I know there's a lot of big decisions that we have to make in our life. A lot of young people think that what job they're going to do or what university they're going to go to is the biggest decision in their life, but it's not. It's a big one, but it's not the biggest. Some people think that who they're going to marry is the biggest decision in their life, but it's not. There's a bigger one. Where you live, it can be a big decision, but it's not the biggest. Now, the biggest decision is where you're going to spend eternity. You can't get bigger than that. Because it not only affects how you live today and this life that you live, but it affects forever. You can't get bigger than that. And so as we look at the different people that were there the day Jesus died, can I encourage you? Please have a serious look at these people and see where you fit, because your eternity rests upon it. Now, the first group of people that I'd like us to consider were the chief priests and the rulers and the crowd, or we could bundle them all into one and say the majority of the people there. And we discover here, we'll read it in a minute, that they hated the Lord Jesus. They had a hatred for this one that was hanging upon the cross. They didn't have sympathy for Him. They didn't have an ounce of care for Him. They derided Him and they hated Him. Now, I don't know if you've ever come across anyone that hates the Lord Jesus, but it's true, there are plenty that hate Him. I remember when I worked in Sydney, I worked with a man, and he was a lovely guy. You could talk to him about anything but the Lord Jesus and God or Christianity. Soon as you start to talk about the Lord, the fury in his face, and he went bright red, and he just spat out words and things that you just didn't like to hear. He had this anger towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It scared him. It's a scary thing. There are people that hate him. You know, Satanists, they hate the name of the Lord Jesus. He is their enemy. You can be sure of that. You know, the Jew, when they hear the name of the Lord Jesus, they are meant to spit on the ground to show their disgust for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are meant to hate him. Some people just hate him. And the majority of the people that were there that day hated the Lord Jesus. His sinless, perfect life showed them up to be the sinners that they were. And they despised the fact that he's preached against them. And so they plotted to have him put on that cross. And when he was there, they derided and they took great pleasure in it. Have a look there in verse 35 of chapter 23 of Luke. Verse 35, it says, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.'" These people hated him. Despite the fact that wherever Jesus went, he healed people, he cared for people, his heart went out for people, he loved the people of Jerusalem and Judea, and he did many wonderful things, despite the fact that he hurt nobody, these people hated him. They didn't believe he was who he said he was, and they rejected what he said. And most of them are in hell this very moment because of that. They had to bear the punishment of their own sin. And you know, that's sad. They watched Jesus died to provide a way for them to escape the punishment of hell. Yet while he was doing that, they mocked him and they rejected it. And there are many people like that. I trust that none of you are like that tonight. Generally, people that absolutely despise the Lord Jesus Christ don't usually hang out in churches. You don't normally find too many people like that, thankfully. But you may know of people like that. But the reality is, if you hate the Lord Jesus, or anyone who does hate the Lord Jesus, if they remain in that state of mind, Jesus says they will die in their sins. And that's a very scary thing to happen. To die in your sins means you die a sinner, means that when God judges you, he declares you a sinner and someone that needs to be punished for that. And that's for all eternity. And these people who hated him are bearing that now. And so that's the first group of people. But if you're not like that, maybe you are like the next person that we see here. It's found in verse 24 of Luke, and that is Pilate. It says, "And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required." You see, Pilate was the man in charge. And he said, "You can do whatever you want with him. It's up to you." And so they let him do as they please. Pilate didn't hate the Lord Jesus. He wasn't out to try and kill him. In fact, if he had his own way, he'd probably let him go. But he wasn't fussed either way. The most important thing for Pilate was that everybody liked him. And so if the majority wanted him released, well, he would have released him. But if the majority wants him crucified, he's happy for him to be crucified as well. It didn't matter to him. We read over in Matthew that when he saw that he couldn't prevail against them, it says that he took water in front of them and he washed his hands in front of them and he says, "I'm innocent of the blood of this innocent man." He didn't want to get involved in it. He says, "Nah, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to say if he's wrong or right or what you're going to do. You just do it." All he was interested in was people like him. And this is how a lot of people are today. They're not what you call against the Lord Jesus. They don't hate him, so to speak. But they don't love him either. They'll just go along with the crowd. If they're at church, if they're at youth group, they'll fit in and do what everyone else is doing. They don't mind. They'll just go along. If they're at work or at school and everyone's acting in a despicable way, they'll go along with that too. They don't mind either way. Jesus isn't their Lord, their Master. Jesus isn't their Savior, the one that has plucked them out from the pits of hell and redeemed them and made them one of the children of God. He isn't special to them, and so he's not worth getting hated over. Oh, I don't hate the Lord Jesus, but I don't want to be hated for him. They're not fussed either way. They just want to fit in. I know as a teenager, I know I was very much like that. I was from a Christian home. I believed it all, but the most important thing to me was to be accepted by the crowd, whoever I was with. So when I was at school, I was very good at acting like everybody else at school. When I was at home, I was very good at acting like a nice little Christian boy. Or when I was in the youth group, I acted just like everyone else. Wherever I was, that's how I acted. I was the ultimate chameleon, just blending with my surroundings. Being accepted, being the most important thing. And that's what Pilate was like. Now, I might add that there is no record that Pilate changed his mind on this. Although he thought Jesus was an innocent man and a good man, there is no record that he believed that he was the Son of God and what he did was for him, and he repented of his sin and turned to the Lord Jesus. And so as far as we know, this very day, he is being tormented in hell this moment because of that. If there's no repentance, there is no forgiveness. And you may be like Pilate. Most important thing is to be liked by those around you. That's all you're interested in. People think well of you. Well, sitting on the fence won't get you to heaven. Ignoring hell won't make it go away either. Pretending it doesn't matter what you do in life, as long as you try your hardest, isn't going to get you to heaven either. You need to repent, the Word of God says. Have a change of mind of the direction that you're going. Admit that what Jesus did was because of you and for you, and call upon him to save you. If you don't have a change of mind, you will be with Pilate forever in eternity. And that's a sad place and predicament to be. But you know, the third person that we see here is found in verse 26. He's a different chap. This man actually helped the Lord Jesus. It says there in verse 26, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. If you don't know the story, basically what happened was after they had kicked the Lord Jesus, after they had spat upon the Lord Jesus, after they had put that crown of thorns upon his head and then bashed him around the head with a reed, after they had whipped the Lord Jesus and tore his back completely open, then made him carry his cross throughout the streets as a public humiliation, we read that Jesus, under the sheer weight and exhaustion of what had gone on then, fell to his knees and couldn't carry his cross any further. And so the soldiers randomly saw someone, and it just so happened to be this man Simon, a Cyrenian, probably passing through, and decided to have a look to see what happened, and they got him, grabbed him, and told him to carry the cross for the Lord Jesus to Calvary. And so, at the most saddest, weakest moment, Simon helped the Lord Jesus. We're not told what Jesus thought about that, but I dare say he really appreciated it. But we shouldn't be fooled. Jesus didn't say, because you carried my cross, I'll let you go to heaven. We shouldn't think that doing anything Any works can get us to heaven. I trust that none of us are fooled by the lies that doing good things, regardless of what it is, even if it's carrying the cross of the Lord Jesus, can get us to heaven. Even though he helped the Lord Jesus, unless he repented of his own sin, saw that Jesus bore his sin on that cross, he too would be suffering eternity in hell this very moment. You know, I think the sad thing for a lot of people is they think that as they're going through life, they are a pretty good person. And they have done a lot of good things that would please the Lord Jesus. They probably even helped him in some ways. Maybe they go to church, maybe they help out in a church, maybe they help people, and they feel as though God would be very pleased with them. And the sad thing is, unless there is repentance of sin and realizing that accepting of salvation through Jesus Christ and him alone, when they pass from this life to the next, they're going to be fearfully astonished over the fact that they are not in heaven. You know, friends, we need to make sure that we are saved. We're told to prove to ourselves that we are the children of God. It's just not something you accept. You prove it to yourself. We're told that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You work it out. You study the Scriptures. See what is required. See if you can see the fruit of the Spirit of God dwelling in you. See if you believe what you are meant to believe. Work this out with fear and trembling, because you only have one life. And once it is cut off, your eternity is set forever. There's no getting into eternity, realizing you're wrong and saying, okay, I'll just rewind a little bit. I know what's right now, and Lord, I'll do it again. There's only one chance. Don't think that doing things for God will assure you of salvation. You know, not even helping Jesus carry the cross will get you there. But there was one man who had a change of mind that day. A very unlikely man. He was the criminal. And he was the thief that was on the cross. We're told that Jesus, when he was crucified, there were two thieves, one on either side, crucified with him. One, I think, was the most, could go down as one of the greatest fools that ever lived. Here he is, he's nailed to a cross, he's going to die that day. And here is the Son of God beside him. Like, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of thieves and robbers and murderers and so on crucified in those days. And they died, and the person next to them was just a sinner like them. But this guy has the Son of God dying next to him. And he is not only next to him, he is... The Son of God is dying for those robberies he's committed in his life and every other sin. And he has the opportunity to be saved. And instead, he takes the opportunity to rail on the Lord Jesus, make fun of him. I can't understand that. Why would you do that when you have no other hope? You know, I remember going to a man here up in Bendigo Hospital. He had been diagnosed with asbestosis. He was only early 50s, and he was going to die within days. And the Crosbys, if you know the Crosbys, they asked me to go and speak to him. There was someone that they had known for quite a while. His name was Max. And he was going to die within a few days. I went up to him. He'd met me a couple of times at the Crosbys' place, and I talked to him about a few things, and I said, you know, how's it looking? He says, I'm going to die in a couple of days. And I said, well, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? This is it. There's no other time. You need to get that right. And he looked at me and he said, Alan, I know what you're doing and I'm not interested. And I said, are you sure? He says, I'm not interested. Please go away unless you're going to talk about something else. And I couldn't believe it. I go away thinking, he's dying. It's not like he's going to get another 20 years to work this out. He's going to die within a few days. And he rejected to even hear about what happens in eternity. And he did die a couple of days later, and he's in eternity this day. And that's what this thief on the cross was like as well. But there was one smart one, and he asked the Lord Jesus for help. And what he said and what he did and what he believed is what every one of us needs to do to be saved. Let me show it to you. If you looked up there in chapter 23, the first thing we see is he realized that Jesus was God. It says there in verses 39 and 40, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?'" This thief knew that Jesus was special. The way he had acted, no doubt the things he had heard about him, he believed he was who he said he was. He goes on to call the Lord Jesus Lord. He understood he was the Lord God. Not only that, he admitted that he was a sinner. It says there in verse 41, "And we indeed justly are being punished, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He's not hanging there saying, "I don't deserve to be here." Well, he says, "I deserve what I'm getting." And then he admitted that Jesus didn't deserve what he was getting. Because he goes on to say, "For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." He understood that Jesus wasn't dying for his own sins. He had done nothing amiss. And then he asked the Lord Jesus to save him. It says there in verse 42, "And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus, being true to his name, that he would not reject anyone who comes to him, says in verse 43, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" And you know, if we could have just open up the veil that goes beyond the physical and be able to see the spiritual, the end of that day, we know that on the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus died. Not sure, and those other malefactors, those two thieves, were put to death as well. They came along and broke their legs to make sure they died quickly. So by the end of the night, all three are passed from this world. If you can open the veil and you see one, he's with the Lord Jesus in paradise. I can't believe this. Out of all the people I could be crucified next to, I get crucified next to the Son of God dying for my sin. And he cleansed me. But if you open up the veil and see that other one, could you imagine to this very day he's still realizing he blew the chance that he got? What a foolish man. But friends, if we want to enjoy that salvation and that forgiveness, we have to do what this thief did. They say that it's as easy as A, B, C. A, you need to admit that you're a sinner and you deserve to be punished. That's what the thief admitted. I deserve this. And we all need to admit that we are sinners and we need help. But B, we need to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and what he did was for us. Believe that he was died and dying on that cross for us. And then C, call upon the Lord Jesus to save you and forgive you. You know, if that thief had just left it at, "Hey, why are you punishing or railing on him? He's done nothing amiss." If he left it there, I don't believe he would be in paradise this day. He called and asked the Lord to help him. And that's what each one of us has to do. You may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You may know that you're a sinner, but there comes a day when you must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you personally. It's not just something that happens. He died, so everyone gets to go to heaven. No, you personally must call. I remember Linda, my wife, saying how she was sent off to Sunday school and various things throughout her years, and she knew all about the things of God and Jesus dying, but it wasn't until she went to a Bible-believing church that she found out that it wasn't just enough to know that. You don't just get to heaven because you know that, but you actually have to ask for that salvation yourself and call upon the Lord to save you. Praise the Lord, she did. And that's what all of us need to do. And this decision to do this or to reject the Lord is the biggest decision a person can ever make. You know, the people who surrounded the Lord Jesus that day when he died have made their decision. That happened hundreds of years ago. They're gone. Their eternity is fixed. It's our time. It's our day. We're the ones that have breath in our lungs and a soul in our body. We're the ones who have to choose if we receive that or not. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we see him hanging upon that cross, it's up to us to say, yes, he is the Son of God. Yes, he's there in my place. Or reject it. And that's the question I'd like to ask you tonight. Who are you like? Are you like the majority who hate the Lord Jesus? Are you like who you don't really care either way? You're not that fussed. As long as everyone likes you, that's all you're interested in. Or you're like Simon. You may have done good things for the Lord Jesus. You try to be good, but you haven't been saved. Or can you look back like that thief and remember a day when you were convicted of your sin and you're standing before God, and upon that conviction realizing that Jesus took your place on that cross, and you humbly cried out to him and asked him to save you from your sin? Can you remember that day? If you can't, if that's never happened, well, then you have to put yourself in the category of one of the other three. The majority, Pilate, or Simon. I trust if you're in one of the first three, you will want to be saved tonight. Let's pray. With their eyes closed and their heads bowed, I don't normally do this, but I would like to give an opportunity. If there's someone that would like me to talk to them afterwards about salvation, so I'm not sure if I am saved and I do want to know, I'd ask you to pop up your hand and just put it back down. I will not mention your name, but I'll just know that I need to come and talk to you. Is there someone who would say, look, I know that where I am and I know I need to be saved, and I'd like you to talk to me afterwards? Is there anyone like this? I'd be happy to talk to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you above all for our Saviour, for how he was willing to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Thank you for the righteousness we can receive in him. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will be at work this very moment, convicting and making it very clear to each person where they stand before you this very moment. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.